Welcome to episode 252 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? The Murder Edition. As you well know, maybe you don't know, there were four mass shootings last week. There was El Paso, Dayton, Ohio, the Garlic Festival in Gilroy, and Brooklyn. And nobody's mentioning Brooklyn. I'm not sure why. There was a shooting at a block party street festival in Brooklyn. One killed and 11 wounded. Could be they were all black. Just saying. Could be. But anyway, so one dead and 11 wounded in Brooklyn. Three dead, 16 wounded in Gilroy. Nine dead, 27 injured in Dayton. And 22 dead and 24 injured in El Paso. And these numbers might change because there are people in critical condition in the hospital who unfortunately may die. Do we care? Yes and no. Individually, yeah, we care. I mean, these are people who left home. I always say the worst part to me, the worst part of these mass shootings and the randomness of it is these people just left home that day and they went wherever they were going, whether they were going to Walmart in El Paso or going to the fair in Gilroy or going to the block party in Brooklyn. They just went out and they didn't know it was going to be the last day of their life. And no one in their family knew that they were never going to see them again and on. And that's a true tragedy. But as a nation, do we care? No. I mean, we don't change anything. Not one gun law. Nothing. Someone asked me, who's paying attention about? And they were like, what's your podcast about? Why do you call it that? Etc. And I told him, I said, it's because, in my opinion, the Fourth Estate, the press, has dropped the ball. I know there are good reporters out there in every form of media, whether it be print, radio, TV, etc. But why can't they let them work? Why, you know, we changed our media to a profit-based entity. This happened in the 80s. I've talked about this before. When CNN became 24 hours, then Fox News, the propaganda channel, started. They had to fill 24 hours. Also, in the early days, up until the 80s, you know, networks had, there was the fairness doctrine, and the fairness doctrine said that you had to be fair. So if you gave a Democrat 30 minutes, you had to give a Republican 30 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. And in the 80s, that fairness doctrine was changed to, well, it's fair for you to say whatever you want to say. The government shouldn't, it's unfair for the government to force you to do anything, blah, blah, blah. And then we got right-wing talk radio and we got Fox News and we got the ridiculous media bias. And then media became a for-profit industry and it started being read by people who look beautiful on TV, who may or may not be actual reporters and so on. And it's gone now. There wouldn't be a Watergate today. That investigation wouldn't happen anymore. You want an example? The New York Times. Okay, now let's back up a little. Donald Trump gave a press conference. He made it back from the golf course after he played golf all weekend through the shootings in El Paso and Dayton. But he made it back to the office Monday. And he actually stood there and read this statement. And you know it was all written for him about, you know, these mass shootings, white nationalism, racism. It was social media. Everything that he has done, he basically gave a list of everything he's done to inspire these shooters and said that it's the problem. Then, of course, there was the fake news and video games and all that bullshit, right? And we know it's bullshit. We know any thinking person, any reading person, he tried to delete the shooter in El Paso wrote that he was battling the Hispanic or Mexican invasion. And Trump's people deleted the tweets where Trump called the Mexicans invaders. So it's because he used the exact same word. And they stand there and they listen to him and nobody's like, nobody calls bullshit on this. No one's like, excuse me, you're the one who tweets the racism after the send them home chants toward the squad, toward the congresswoman of color, after all the attacks on Elijah Cummings in the city of Baltimore, rat-infested shithole, blah, blah, blah. By the way, a lot of the infestations are owned by his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Again, the news doesn't play that up more. When you say that Baltimore is infested and slummed and not fit for people to live, perhaps you should show everybody how many violations belong to his son-in-law. But anyway, so there's all of this, and we know Trump's a racist. If you don't think Trump's a racist, I don't know what to tell you. I honestly don't know what to tell you. There's no talking to you. You know it. Repeatedly, from the early Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers, the Central Park Five, he's never hidden it. He's not smart enough to hide it. The New York Times headline, Trump urges unity versus racism. That's why I say, who's paying attention? What the fuck? The New York Times let him off that easy? Yeah, they changed the headline later. You know, in the second edition, it said assailing hate but not guns, which, of course, is also gentle. But Trump urges unity against racism? No. You know who urged unity against racism? Barack Obama. President Obama put out a statement on Twitter. Look for it. It is exactly why he's the greatest president we've had in my lifetime. Just to quickly read some of it. Michelle and I grieve with all the families in El Paso and Dayton who endured these latest mass shootings. Even if details are still emerging, there are a few things we already know to be true. I'm reading from Barack Obama's tweet, okay? First, no other nation on earth comes close to experiencing the frequency of mass shootings we see in the United States. No other developed nation tolerates the levels of gun violence that we do. Every time this happens, we're told tougher gun laws won't stop the murders. They won't stop deranged individual getting a weapon. But evidence shows they can stop some killings. They can save some families. And I'm moving on. While the motivations of these shootings may not yet be fully known, there are indications the El Paso shooting follows a dangerous trend. Troubled individuals who embrace racist ideology and see themselves obligated to act violently to preserve white supremacy. Like the followers of ISIS and other foreign terrorist organizations, I love that he used the word terrorist because that's what they are, these individuals may act alone, but they've been radicalized by white nationalist websites that proliferate on the internet. Just as important, this is the final paragraph, all of us have to send a clarion call and behave with the values of tolerance and diversity that should be the hallmark of our democracy. We should soundly reject language coming out of the mouths of any of our leaders that feeds a climate of fear and hatred or normalizes racist sentiments. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but you understand what he was saying. We should reject any leaders that normalize racist sentiments, leaders that stand there smiling when they say send them back, leaders that stand there smiling when someone says we should shoot the foreigners, leaders that say that a black neighborhood in Baltimore is roach infested, that black Congress people are less intelligent, and on and on. Trump racism. And we know that Barack Obama wrote this himself. This wasn't written for him. So to the New York Times, this is why you're shit. This is why you're not doing your job. Because you should be calling out Donald Trump on this specifically. You should be showing every racist tweet that he showed. You should have the manifesto from El Paso with the Trump tweets next to it, rather than having it on Twitter where someone else did the work and showed exactly what Trump said and how it matched what was in there. I even heard on NPR, whom I love, I work for, I love NPR, saying that we shouldn't use the word manifesto because manifesto means a powerful statement. We should use, you know, the rantings or whatever. Well, no, No, let's call it the manifesto because that's what it is. And let's look at 8chan. Let's look at the website where these mass shooters go to brag about what they did and to get endorsement for what they did and to keep score because they're trying to outkill the last one. Now, we don't know what all of these are. And I read in something about the Ohio killer may have been a leftist, which could be true. Listen, there's no. Yeah, there is. There is actually. There is a. The racism is on the right. The crazy could be on the left, but the racism is on the right. This is our normal. This insanity, this hate is our normal. You think it's not? Okay. Well, how about Candace Keller, an Ohio representative, Ohio congresswoman, who said that this shooting is because of the breakdown of the traditional American family, transgender and homosexual marriage, drag queen advocates, violent video games, the acceptance of recreational marijuana, and of course, Barack Obama. That's why there was a mass shooting, these mass shootings. And this person was elected in Ohio, okay? This is what we're dealing with, okay? You understand we live in two countries. We are no longer the United States of America. I just finished going on a tour. I went from Tennessee up through Virginia into West Virginia. It was a beautiful motorcycle ride. It was a great show. It was very sad. The Roadrunner Motorcycle Weekend, somebody got killed, which was a downer on the weekend. But I went through there. And believe me, when you go through these places and you see these rebel flags, see, it's not a code anymore. It's not a code. When you see the rebel flag, when you see the Trump sign, you know, in front of the building or the house, or you, that's, they're sending a message. It's not coded racism. It's like, yeah, here we are. Yeah, we, and if you're different, if you're, I said it before, if you're other, then we hate you. We don't want you here. And don't try to, see, I'm tired of the sugarcoating. Say, don't use the word hate. They're not all racist. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. If you still endorse this shit, you're a racist too. So don't give me that, you know, the mythical working white man who's having a rough time. Really, guess what? Everyone's having a rough time. Everyone's having a rough time. So that's just the way it is, okay? You know who's not having a rough time? Billionaires. They seem to be doing all right. But I don't even want to get into all that. Sorry. I don't even want to get into all that. The point being that this hate is America's norm. I love the way that D.L. Hughley put it. And this is a perfect example. Today, I'm recording this on Monday, August 5th. Today is a perfect example. He said, America wants to be Barack Obama. America is Donald Trump. And when you look at the two speeches, which, by the way, Donald Trump said the shooting was in Toledo. He doesn't even know where it was. That's how you know he's just reading something they put in front of him. But imagine Fox News if Barack Obama had said the wrong city for a mass shooting. Man, they'd have lost their shit. But anyway, that's the truth. Look at the aftermath of these shootings. Listen to the speeches. Look at the hate that it has spread, not spreading, has spread across America toward other Muslim, Mexican, Black, women, gay, transgender, other. If you're other, you are openly hated and it's open season on you. They're killing. They're straight up shooting and you don't know when it might happen. And you know, they said that El Paso, I actually heard them use the words domestic terrorism, which is a surprise. And they said the shooter might even be charged with a hate crime. Yeah. After writing about the reason for his killing is a Hispanic invasion and killing 22 people, we might even charge him with a hate. What the fuck does it take to get charged with a hate crime? Do you actually need to announce before you start shooting? Hello, everybody. This is a hate crime I'm about to commit. I don't mean to make a joke, but honestly, what does it take? I could go on and on, but I'm afraid I'm talking in circles right now. And I'm definitely, if you're listening to me, I love you and I appreciate you, but I'm preaching to the choir. you get it. How about a gun law? I don't know. Maybe AK-47 type semi-automatic type weapons should be illegal, considering they're only designed to kill people. Maybe the extended magazine should be illegal and to stop the manufacturer, considering they're only there to kill people. It's the only reason. If you're hunting deer with an AK-47, you're not really hunting a deer. All right? Then stop it. No, I'm not even going to go into collectors and all that. No, fuck that. All right? But we're just talking because it'll happen again. I promise you. The presidential debate, it's too early. I'm sorry, I'm switching topics here, you know. To me, it's the reality show. Listen, we can talk about this, but why at this point? We still have the crazy candidates are still in, you know, that Trump should be stopped with love. That's Marianne Williamson's idea. You know, just love him. Just love him. And, you know, we have the progressives fighting the corporate or traditional Democrats. You know, to me, Biden, too old. Listen, if you're a vice president and you want to be president, you run right after your president is done. 8 years of Barack Obama, then you run. Bernie, same thing. You know, I don't consider Bernie the greatest candidate. I like Kamala Harris. A lot of people don't. Many say that a black woman is unelectable. Listen, black women ain't often wrong, but I know people who don't like her because of her history as a prosecutor, and I get that, but she seems to have the biggest, to me, the best grasp on the issues. Elizabeth Warren, also great ideas, a woman who people don't like. I see a lot of the same hate that Hillary got, that like they just hate Elizabeth Warren because she exists. All those governors, none of them are rising to the surface. Beto, he's done. The gay guy, Pete, whatever. See, I don't even know their names. I'm sorry. I'm not keeping that much of a track. It's too early. I know they said at this point, neither Barack Obama nor Donald Trump was leading. And I will tell you this. Right now, I just don't see, and I hate saying this, but I don't see a Democrat beating Donald Trump. You know, he's stirring up the racism and the hatred. You got all the bankers and all the money backing him. You have all the business backing him because there are no regulations. I really don't, you know, I don't see it unless they need somebody dynamic. I've said it. They need a white Barack Obama, and I don't see one, but hopefully I'm wrong. This is a very interesting piece. Talked about heirs' property. How southern states allow white land developers to steal Reconstruction era land from black families. And you have to just Google it. You have to Google, look up heirs property, H-E-I-R-S, heirs. Basically what it's about is that a lot of these black families that did get land are going all the way back to when their family was released from slavery. They didn't have deeds. A lot of them couldn't read, couldn't write. And they would write it in a Bible. They would write, I leave my land to these family members. And it would go that way for generations. And they came up with these laws that allowed developers to take their land for because they didn't know, right? So if a single heir with a tiny claim to family land can be found and convinced to sell the title, the developer can use the courts to force the sale of the whole thing. These people are cash poor and land rich. They can't fight. A woman lost her family home because she was late paying an $83 tax bill. A developer and resort owner bought the property for $2,000. It happens over and over. There's a thing called the Torrens Act, which allowed this kind of land theft. So it's very interesting. And the point being, people who say there's no such thing as white privilege, I didn't profit from slavery, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what the biggest, the most valuable thing Americans have, most families, is land. They pass down the family home, family farm, whatever. Well, imagine that being taken away. Imagine all the things you can't do. You can't borrow against it to help other family members build homes, buy homes, and build family wealth. You can't live. You have nowhere to live. If you've been living in the family farm and then the family farm's taken away, you literally have nowhere to live. It has to do with education, property taxes, et cetera. It's so many things that come from owning land, owning property. And this property was stolen from these families. And the value of it in some cases is tremendous, because if you're in the South, if you're in you know, the coastal South, and they build a bunch of golf courses and resorts, and you have all this land, you know how much your land is suddenly worth? You could take loans against it and develop yourself. You could do what, but no, you can't, because it's just taken away. It's very interesting. Heirs property and how this has been done and is still being done. This has been done since they started chasing black people off their land in the early 1900s, which was one of the things that the Klan did. See, the Klan wasn't just terror. It was also business. Chase you off this land so we can take this land from you. That's business. That's not just, I hate you because you're black. That's, I'm stealing from you. Maybe I shouldn't do podcasts too often if they're all going to be this sad, this negative. Listen, I'm doing the Fear Not podcast. Look for that. I talk with Barry Glasnow on that about things people fear that they should and that they shouldn't. Barry did a great episode on the Democrat debate. I've been busy, man. You know, I've been working. I was in Montreal at Just for Laughs. You know, if you know anything about me and my comedy career, my absolute favorite thing in comedy, a week of over 100 shows, everyone from unrepped, unknown new faces of comedy to, you know, Kevin Hart and Wanda Sykes. I made some new friends. I met Nick Kroll. He has a great show on Netflix called Big Mouth. It's an animated show about teenagers and puberty. It's hilarious. Pete Holmes, super funny, had the show Crashing on HBO. Really nice guy. Met him. Saw my buddy Jimmy Carr. You've got to go to YouTube and check out Jimmy Carr. He's a Brit. He's world famous and he's hilarious. And I had a great time. But it's a lot of, you know, it was working. And, you know, so I haven't been on the shtick doing the podcast, but I am still glad you guys listen. Oh, and I've been doing Wait, Wait, which I'll be doing again this coming weekend. And I'm going to be on the Young Turks this week. So I'm out here, you know, and I'm doing comedy and I'm doing commentary. And I so appreciate you guys for listening to both. Live, I'm going to be at the Chicago Improv this weekend, August 9th, 10th, and 11th. And then I'm going to be at Tampa. And I love Side Splitters down in Tampa. I'm going to be there the 15th through the 18th. So I got that coming up. I'm back on the road and I love being on the road. I hope we stop shooting, at least for a week, at least for a day. I'm not even going to address the, you know, well, what about the shootings in Chicago? Stop it. Just stop it. We need a leader with balls. We need the congressperson, the senator who's going to stand up to the NRA. And I think they'd be surprised how much support they'd get if they did it. We need somebody to commit. We need a media that will call Trump a racist, that will call Trump a white nationalist, and will point the finger, connect the dots between his rhetoric and these mass shootings and these violent killers and violent, insane, hateful people. Who's paying attention? You are. I appreciate it. And you know what? We can do better. Love you. Thank you.